get to the table, you can charge your...
No. Today is the finale. Okay, today is the balloon good. The balloon payments for Ribbis.
Yeah, but that's on the principle.
I want to conclude, tie up some loose ends. Some modern stuff from this wonderful safer.
Tomorrow Vito shows up.
Tomorrow we'll see. Tomorrow I have a new topic. We'll see what we're going to do tomorrow. We'll see. But let's discuss a few more short modern day dilemmas that relate to Ribbis. Okay, first, some things are more similar, some more complex. Question. You have a person, and you know that he's a very wealthy person. You are aware that this fellow is a very wealthy person, and you need money. You need money. You are in need of a loan, of a very significant loan, and you want to be very strategic. You want. I don't need the money today. I have a child to marry off in a couple of months, couple of years, and I know in the back of my mind, or in the front of my mind, I'm going to one day ask this fellow for a loan. I'm going to ask him for a loan. I know he has the money to lend me, and I want a loan. I'm not asking for a handout, a loan, but not today. A couple of months. In the meantime, let me warm up to him. So as soon as Purim, Purim is not a good example. I'm going to send him a nice Mishloach Manos. That's not really a good example because giving someone a gift of Mishloach Manos, that's a mitzvah.
Hello. Why?
Okay, that's not necessarily Ribbis when you give a person Mishloach Manos. But let's say I'll give him a gift. I will invite him to my home. Whatever, you use your own imagination. You're going to go out of your way to do for this person things that you never would do. You're going to be extra nice to do whatever, to do special things you would never do, all for the kavana, so that in a few weeks from now, a few months from now, you'll go over and say, you know, I need a favor. I need a couple of $1,000. I'm making a simcha. I have a child to marry you off. Can you do me a favor? Can you lend me money? So what's so terrible? What's terrible, this is what's called ribis mukdemes. Because you're going to borrow the money, I'm going to borrow the $10,000, I'm going to pay back the $10,000, but the truth is, not only did you pay back the $10,000 interest-free loan, you have also done for him favors, you have done for him things that you would ordinarily never do. Let me take a step back. Let's discuss the simple case. I borrow a person I never met, make a cold call. Can you do me a favor? I know you're very wealthy. I have a need. I have a problem. Can I borrow $1,000? Of course. What am I here for? Here's $1,000. And then you meet him in the street. And, oh, look who's here, this guy. You run across the street and you buy him an ice cream cone. Oh, it's a hot day here, sir. Here, take this delicious ice cream cone. Here's a drink. Here's a bottle of water. The person who lent you the $1,000. And 2 weeks later, you pay him back the $1,000. You are in violation of Ribbis because you would never approach this fellow in the street and say, oh, you're hot here. Here's a bottle of water. Here's an ice cream cone. Why am I giving him an ice cream cone and a bottle of water? Because he lent me $1,000. So in 2 weeks, when I pay him back the $1,000, not only have I paid him back $1,000, I paid him back $1,000 plus an ice cream cone. Or plus a bottle of water. And I would never have given him that bottle of water or that ice cream cone unless he lent me the money.
You want to start to do it to all people.
So this is, now is this Ribbis Deraisa? No. Why is this not Ribbis Deraisa? Because it's not Ribbis Deraisa because it was not stipulated in advance. We never made a stipulation in advance that part of the condition is when I see you in the street, I'm going to give you an ice cream cone. But it's Ribbis Midrabanan. Now, likewise, I'll give you another example before we get to, let us say I've paid back the loan. I've paid back the loan of $1,000. And now, 2 weeks later, I meet him on the street, and it's a hot day. Oh, you were so good to me. You lent me. You say the words. You actually have to say the words, or else it's not Ribbis. You say, you know, you were so good to me 3 weeks, 2 weeks, whatever. You lent me money, so therefore, I have to reciprocate. I have to give you a bottle of water. So is that Ribbis Deraisa? No. Because the loan was paid off already.
Can you think it or you have to say it?
You have to say it. You have to say it.
That's saying if you didn't lend them the money, you
would never. The halacha, it's a very complicated halacha that even though the rules are, if the situation is such where you would never do this for this person if he does not lend you the money, but you want to show gratitude. So if you show gratitude during the loan itself, before the loan is paid off, that's really ribbis. That's ribbis midrabbanan. If you do it to him on the day when you pay back the loan, I pay back the loan. I'm paying you back the loan today in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, and I meet him on the street at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I give him a bottle of water. That's also, even if you say absolutely nothing, you don't say one word, but in the morning, 9 o'clock, I give him back his money, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I give him a bottle of water, and I would never have given him the bottle of water if not for the fact that he lent me the money. That is also ribbis midrabanan. It's obvious you're giving him back this bottle of water because gratitude for the loan is all part of the loan, because in the morning you pay him back, it's usur. If it's the next day, now this is where it gets complicated. If it's the next day, 24 hours have passed, and some say you need more than a day. You need a more significant period of time, and then you do him this favor. So the rules are, if you say the words, the reason why I'm giving you this bottle of water is because you've been so kind to me, and you have done me a favor by lending me money, then that is ribbis. But if you do not say anything, you don't say one word, and you just give him the bottle of water, even though you would never have given the bottle of water if not for the fact that he lent you the money, it's okay. It's okay. It's permitted. It's permitted because the loan has been paid, time has passed, and you're not explicitly saying, I'm giving you this bottle of water as a reward for lending me money. Oh, so that's our Shiloh now. New Shiloh now. Now you're doing it in anticipation. Anticipation. So it's before. It's the same exact thing. It's the same exact concept, but it's before. This is called what's called ribbis mukdemes. Mukdemes means, the case that we said was ribbis mu'ucheres, and this is called ribbis mukdemes. I'm doing you a favor in advance, so that I should get a loan.
Why can't the mitzvah of chesed knock out this mitzvah?
Because it's not a chesed. Would you have done this otherwise?
It's still a chesed.
It's a different type of
water, like the example of the water.
It's somewhere in the middle. If it's really a chesed, you would have done this even if he would not have lent you the money.
You have to make that
assessment. You are correct. If you have a situation where you can say to yourself, I would have anyway given the water. You go. I'll give you an example. You're cheering on people in a marathon, right? You're doing a marathon and you're giving out water, right? You're on the sidelines. And you're giving out water. And then guess who runs down the marathon?
The lender!
That guy, he lent me a thousand. And there he is. Oh, for you, a bottle of water.
Maybe a better
ribbis. 2 miles. Oh. That's right. That would be ribbis. That's right. That's right. I'm giving every yokel a bottle of water. So you could also have a bottle of water. It's only when you're walking down the street and you see from the corner of the eye, you run into the store, you buy a bottle, you run over to him. That's ribbis. Okay?
What if you say, I'm giving you this water, nothing to do with the
loan? No. It's not.
That's the idea you got. It has everything to do. I pick you out of the lottery.
It's like you have a big machlokes.
I don't remember getting the money.
You know what you just said? It's like you have a big fight with someone and you say, it's not about money. It's not about money.
Money's not
the issue. We're fighting about Ritual. Just cover, l'shma, cover. Nothing to do with money. Yes, it's also ribbis. Ribbis devarim is called ribbis devarim. Yes, ribbis devarim. It's called ribbis devarim. Lo sashich lechneshach kesach neshach eichel neshach kol davar afilu dibur. Davar is dibur. If you would never say good morning to this person, and now only because he lent you money, you say good morning.
Even though he knows, and he'd be insulted that you just bypassed him. And say,
that's correct. That is correct. There is an argument to say that derech nimus. It's not called an enhancement, possibly, but it's not so simple either.
What happens if you go to the maizim and you borrow money from them? You know, like the gemach, the wonderful gemach, you know, for a chassid or something like that, and So the person who you work with, yeah, the person who is Masader, it's not really his money. He's not really giving you his money. It's, but would you allow it to be extra nice to him?
No, I don't think. I think it's mutter. That's mutter. It's not his money. It's not his money. No,
right,
it's mutter. No,
saying, you know,
it's mutter. It's not his money.
Right.
Let me ask you another shot. Let's first finish this. So what is Allah? So basically, it's the same rules. Basically, it's mutter. It's normally if you're planning, if you're being strategic, and you know you're trying to butter up this fellow so that you ultimately you can borrow money. It's his mutter. Because right now at this point in time, there is no loan.
He can deny it.
It's even better. He can say, yeah, he can deny it. It's even better because the loan never happened. But if it's only usur, if the rules of ribis mukdemes are much more lenient, like you said, because the loan has not even happened yet. The only time it's usur is only when you actually say to him, you know, I want to butter you. Let me be open. The day is going to come when I'm going to need you. So I want now to be nice to you. I want to go out of my way to be nice to you because I want to butter you up. So when you actually state that this is all a hakdama to the request to get the loan, then it is usur. But if you do nothing, you just do lavish gifts and you're very kind to this person as a plan, as a strategy to get to him, and then ultimately you do get to him and he gives you the loan, we do not retroactively view the gifts that you have presented the lender as what's called ribis mukdemes. Ribis mukdemes is only when you explicitly state, I'm giving you in advance, I'm giving you something now so that as a key, a mafteach, so that you should be willing to, you should get, lend me the money. Let me ask you an interesting shaila, which is not so simple. Every case is different. Let's say you have a gemach, you have an organization. They provide many, many things. They provide many services. One of the services the organization provides is free loans, free interest loans. Okay, you're part of a shul. You're a member of the Young Israel of Midwood. And the Young Israel of Midwood make believe they have a gemach. They have a gemach, the gemach of interest free loans. But you have to be a member. You must be a member of the synagogue in order to be eligible to take out the free interest loan. So I'm not a member of the synagogue. But being a member of the synagogue entitles me to many rights. I'm allowed to down for the Yomud. I'm allowed to get the catering order at a discount rate. I'm allowed to borrow books from the library. What?
There's no problem.
So it's not so simple. Every case has to be. Let's say I want to become a member of the synagogue for many reasons. I want to become a synagogue because I want access to the library. I want to be able to down for the Yomud. It just so happens I also am going to need to borrow money from the interest-free gemach loan. So then it's definitely not a problem because I'm borrowing membership into the synagogue. But let's say I need the loan. I have nothing to do with the shul. I don't want to know from the shul. I need the money. So I call up the secretary and they say, I want a loan. Well, I'm sorry, the loan is for members only. What does it cost to become a member? $300. Okay. Here's $300. Give me the loan. So this is a problem of ribis mukdemes. They are over because the gemach belongs to a group of people. The gemach, is still ribis. A gemach is copyright. It's a corporation. Okay, we're machmir. No. So that's the machlekes. The gemach is a separate entity. You're right. It's a gemach. It's machlekes. Rav Moshe. There are a lot of truths on this. Halacha lemaisa. It was the first one to pass in the Gemach is also is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch categorically writes a Gemach. There is ribis with the Gemach. The Shoyal Umeshiv. You know who the Shoyal Umeshiv was? What's the last name?
Nansan.
So he strongly disagreed. He held that there is no exactly that a Gemach. There is no prohibition for a Gemach to take ribis. It's not owned by an individual. It's like a corporation. And he persuaded he tried very hard to persuade, he lived in the same time, of Gansrid, the Mechaber of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, to retract, to be chayzer from his psak in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and he never did. He never was choizer from what he, even though he was under pressure from other gedolim, including the Sholem Eshev particularly, he put him under pressure to be choizer that he disagreed strongly. He refused to do so. And he left, when he died, he left Kitz Shulchan Aruch, he paskins, a gemach, or all the different terms, which basically a gemach or corporation, even better, corporation. There is an iser of ribis on a corporation if its own majority of the people who own the corporation or own, or not even they own it, not even they own it, even if it's, if it's, it's a joint, whatever it is, a gemach, he appears that he holds, if I'm not mistaken, maybe I'm saying wrong, but it appears that he held out that there is ribis. So let us say...
No, it would be wrong to make a donation to the shul. If you get a loan from the shul,
you know,
and you pay back, but you're very grateful to the shul, so you want to make a donation to the gemach, or...
If you make it on the day when you pay back the loan, it would be a problem, you're right. If your only connections with the shul, your only shaykhus to the shul is this loan, you come out of Mars, and you land here, I want the money, and I have nothing else, you have to, okay, so here's the money for the membership, thank you for the loan, and here's a donation to the shul for the loan. Well, giving the donation to the shul, it's not necessarily the same. If you give a donation to the gemach, if you give a donation to the gemach, that would be ribis mulcheres. If you give a donation to the shul has nothing to do with the shul. Is a shul.
No, it's all one thing.
No, not necessarily. No. That's not so. A gemach, an interest-free loan in a shul, is a separate account. It's not part of the shul's money. It would be irresponsible. I can't imagine any professional shul would do that. You have a fund. There's a special fund. The fund is for the gemach, and the shul has its operating budget. What? A separate account.
But it's even different people manage the things. Usually the rabbi is involved.
Right, but no. But the account is not owned by any individual. It's owned by the kahal.
The planning of the shul is different thing.
Right, separate, right. But in order to gain access, in order to have the rules, it's structured in such a way, the shul will not allow a person to borrow money from the gemach unless he is a member.
Correct.
Now, I don't know that. I just give an example. Some shuls, they don't care. Even if you're not a member, we'll give you the money. They don't care, whatever. That's a separate decision. But let us say you do have such a situation where in order to gain access to a service, you must be a member. So then, if the only reason why you're becoming a member... Well, you see, that's not, what I said is not it's not so simple. See, because becoming a member of the shul is not necessarily connected to the gemach. It has to be, you have to become a member of the gemach. It has to be, that's what I told you in the beginning. This question is a very complicated question, and a lot of it depends upon how it's structured. When you become a member of the shul, does that mean you're becoming a member of the gemach society? Or does it mean, no, you're a member of the shul, and then the gemach is completely independent, it just is a tanai, you have to be part of the shul in order to have access to the gemach. That's usually the way it is structured. But there are such times where it's not like that. It's all one and the same. It's all one and the same. Becoming a member of the shul is becoming part of the gemach society. Again, as I told you, it's not clear. Every situation may be different. You have to ask a shayla what to do, but just to bring out the point, just to bring out the idea of you have situations of ribis which you never thought you would have such a type of situation.
Which one is Ikar with Knesset or Kemah? It depends.
You know, it depends. Sometimes the gemach, sometimes you have a major gemach institute, and it just happens to be You have to go through the shul. I was once trying to get access to placement, rabbinic, to get a job, to have access to rabbinic placement. So who does rabbinic placement?
RCA.
So the RCA, it's a partnership between the RCA and YU. And it was years ago, I don't know what it is today, but at that point in time, there was a person, I forgot his name, and he knew every position in America for sure, probably elsewhere. He knew every open position, he knew all the politics, all the Lashon Hara, anything you can possibly want to know about a shtela in America, this was your point man. And he had access to help get you an interview, a prava. So I wanted access to this person. So he said to me, I am employed by YU and the RCA. They pay my salary. And the rules are, in order for me to help you, you have to be either an alumnus of Yeshiva University, or a member of the RCA. Otherwise, I'm just not allowed. It's illegal for me to assist you, because assisting you will come out, will take away someone else. So my hands are tied. I may know you very well. He knew my father very well. There's nothing I can possibly do. I'm not a student of Yeshiva University. I was not a member of the RCA, so I can't help you. So I became, because of that, I had to go through a long process to become a member of the RCA. I would have been a member of the RCA just with a phone call. I had made the phone call probably 2 days before I would have been a member of the RCA, and I could have avoided the whole issue. It happened to be that that day or the day after, the RCA came under enormous heat from the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, what's it called? The Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael, for allowing people to serve as members of the RCA who are apikarsim. So the RCA was under enormous scrutiny and heat, and they basically put a freeze on all new applicants until they review their vetting and their process of how who can get in, and they had to write up a whole new process with committees and committees and committees, and I was zoichet to be their first guinea pig to go through all of the hurdles and loops.
Did they let you win? That's what I wanted.
They let me in at the end, but it didn't go easy. It did not go easy. It took quite a bit, because I was the first guinea pig of the new procedure of how we're going to vet the applicants into the RCA. So then I finally become a member of the RCA. Wow, what a gadula, right? The RCA. What a gadula. And I get an interview, and he says, sorry, there are no jobs. Forget it, go home. There's nothing to talk about.
So you landed here.
After all that, it was very, very funny. It really was. Okay.
FBI?
So this is an interesting shiloh. If you have a committee, if you have a gemach, and you want to make use of a gemach, if your membership dues into the gemach, maybe you have to contribute. Maybe in order to become a member, in order to use the gemach, you may need to contribute money into the gemach. That can be ribis mukdemes. The only reason, if you give me the money, out of the goodness of your heart, I've contributed to the gemach. So there are such gemachs that are like that. You contribute to the gemach, and if down the line you need to make use, you need the money, then you can take out money from the gemach. The gemach is a private gemach. The only ones who are entitled to use money, to borrow money from the gemach, interest-free loans, are those who contribute to the gemach. If you're not going to contribute to the gemach, it's not a public gemach. People who contribute, some people contribute $100, there's a minimum amount you have to contribute. So if you contribute $100, then you're entitled to take out $5,000. You have to show that you're serious about the gemach. So if 5 years ago, out of the goodness of my heart, I gave $100, and now 5 years later, due to unforeseen circumstances, I need to borrow money. I never thought it would come to this. I need to borrow money. So I'm a member. I contributed, so very, very good. But if right now I'm desperate, the only reason why I'm becoming a member, I'm going to give you the $100 of the gemach, is because I want to take out more money from the gemach, this is really ribis mukdemes. Ribis mukdemes is a problem. So the whole structure... What? Well, a gemach is a dilemma. Is there ribis bechlal on a gemach?
The reason the original way they started the mass was that everybody put their money in. Whether you needed it, if you had money, you put it
in. But when the people put the money in, no one expected at the time they put the money in, at that moment they're going to need the money. It was like insurance.
They put it in.
Just in case.
Just in case, right. So when they're putting it in, they're not putting it in for the purpose of borrowing. Halavai, they should never need to borrow. Right? Just in case. Or in order to help out other people.
If he wants $5,000, instead of borrowing $5,000, he should borrow $4,900. He's giving $100 to sign up.
Signing up itself is a commitment. It's a commitment. It works. It's a technique in the business world. You're saying a solution. The solution is that when you borrow the money, it's going to deduct it from deducted from the entrance fee, the signing off fee. Okay, that's an idea. You're right. It sounds good. It sounds good.
There are expenses to maintain them.
Okay, so if you want to say the money, you want to say the money is not for the that it's actually lent out. It's for service fees. That's also a solution. The truth is, ribis mukdemes very, very lenient because it's not ribis minatoira. It's not ribis minatoira, and it's only ribis midrabanan, and it's a very lightweight is midrabanan because the loan has not even happened yet. Ribis mukheres is more chomor because the loan has happened, and now you're paying back more money. Here, the loan did not even exist. There's no loan. You're first coming to borrow money later, and now you want to retroactively sell the money that I gave you is going to be usur. It's a very, very, and then you want to combine to this other factors that it's not a private person. It's a gemach. It's like a corporation to some degree. There are so many other factors which contribute to being very, very lenient in these type of situations. Okay, now let's discuss another term. Yes, in an emergency situation, you're not allowed to do averos just because of an emergency. No averos. Pikuach nefesh, but not this is not because, no. Just because of an emergency, you're not allowed to do this. Okay, let's discuss another shayla. This is called rimis. This is called haromas ribis. It's another term. Another term in the world of ribis called haromas ribis. What would you say the following situation? I'm going to make a loan. I'm going to lend you $5,000, and I'm giving you 10 days to pay me back. 10 days. If you don't pay back in 10 days, there's a penalty fee of, one-time penalty fee, of 5%, which would have been the ribis, which would have been what? I really want to lend you, I'll make up numbers, I want to lend you $1,000, and really I would charge you ribis of, let's say, $500. What do I say? I'll lend you $1,000. I'm going to charge you outrageous ribis of $500. That's the way I operate. That's my business. I'm a loan shark. Okay? I charge ribis $500. The rabbis told me I can't do this anymore. This is awesome. I'm going to get into trouble. So I have to behave myself. And now I'm not allowed to engage in ribis. So you know what? Okay, we won't call it ribis. How normally when I lend you $1,000 and I charge you ribis of $500, how long do you have to pay back? 6 months. That's my standard business model. I give you 6 months, and then you give me back $1,500. And if not, I come after you. I come after you big time. So you know what? The rabbis told me I can't do this anymore. Okay, so we'll find a way around it. I'm going to lend you $1,000, and you have to pay me back not in 6 months, in 10 days. And if you don't pay me back in 10 days, there's a one-time late penalty fee, a penalty, that's not ribis, of $500. And I'm not going to enforce the penalty for 6 months. So what have you done? You basically restructured the loan with ribis with using new terminology. It's not going to be interest on the loan. It's going to be a penalty for paying late. And I'm setting up the loan in such a way where you're going to be late. You're for sure going to be late. You're not going to pay back $1,000 in 10 days. It'll take you 6 months to pay me back $1,000. So for sure you're going to be late. For sure you're going to incur the penalty fee. And in 6 months will come, I will get my $1,000 plus the $500 penalty fee. And there was no ribis. The loan was $1,000. I lent $1,000. I got back $1,000. Is this called ribis? The answer is, Minat Torah, it's not. According to the letter of the law, this is permitted. I lent you $1,000. I got back $1,000. It happens to be there was a condition, and you did not fulfill the condition. Therefore, you're going to get a knas. The kanas is $500. This is not called ribis min ha-Torah. The Rabbanan said, we know what you're doing. You're playing games. This is called a harama. This is deception. So Chazal were makbid, and they said, if you do something like this, where you impose late penalty fees, one-time late penalty fees, which result in receiving interest, what we would call in the big picture of things, this is osur mid-Rabbanan. So sometimes when you have a very innocent types of situations where it seems like it's an interest-free loan, but there are penalty fees involved. That is called haromas ribis. It's deception, and it's asur midrabana. That's okay. What?
I'm going to lend you $1,000 for the year, but under one condition of that whenever it snows, please shovel my sidewalk.
That's ribis deraisa. Ribis deraisa. Ribis deraisa.
You'll do it for free.
You're lending a person money, and in addition to getting back the money, you're demanding a service. You're demanding a service. Ribis deraisa. You're getting $1,000 plus a service. If you would say, give me back $999 and shovel my snow, that would be mutter. Even $1. Even $1 would be okay, possibly. Possibly. But
snow
to charge 1,000 demand job. And demand even demand a service. Yeah.
In case when you say to the guy, I'm going to lend you $1,000, and if you don't pay me back in 6 months, then you have to pay a penalty fee. But I don't think that's ribbons because he has the opportunity to pay back on time.
Correct. So that's not that right. Right. So that's better. That's much better. I don't know the answer exactly, but that, I think that would be mutter. That sounds like it's definitely mutter
because there is such a thing as a penalty fee.
Look,
if you pay on time, then
to
okay.
Lend someone, if you lend someone a credit card, right, and there's no interest the first month, I assume most credit cards are like that still. The first month, there's no. Is that true still today? There's no.
There's 25 days.
There's no. So I'm going to lend you the credit card, and I trust you that you're going to you're going to pay back within 25 days. If he does not pay back, it's going to trigger an interest charge. So you are allowed to enter into that arrangement with trust that he will pay back on time and we're not going to have problems of ribis. Because if he will default on the first payment, now there's an interest charge. Now you're not allowed to take from him more than what you're going to be stuck by paying that extra amount of money. You'll be very tempted to say, you know, it's a lot of money, interest. You know, you pay me the interest. You pay the interest. And that would be ribis. That would be asur. So you're putting yourself in a situation where you're setting yourself up for a scenario where you're going to have a big problem. You're allowed. If you trust this fellow, and right now, at this moment in time, there is no ribis, and there's only a possibility that you will enter into a situation where there may be ribis midrabanan, that's mutter. That's permitted. No one ever said you can't go lend someone your credit card. No one ever said that. It's mutter. Even though lending someone a credit card can result in ribis if he defaults on the first payment. There will be an interest charge. And the question is who's going to pay that interest charge? And you're going to have to be super duper careful not to charge an interest charge. It's a problem. Okay, here's a very interesting shaila. This happens more often than you think. Shliach mitzvah money. So you're looking at me, what am I talking about, right? What kind of shaila is this? Go on the plane. Here, I want to give you money. I want you to be a shliach mitzvah.
$1.
I'll give you $1. Okay, $1. The case that it's more common are cases where people give a significant amount of money. They go, they say, you know, you're going to this place, do me a favor. There's a guy that's going to you get me, he'll call you, pick up the envelope, and you're giving significant amount of money. But let's talk even $1. Doesn't matter. Give you $1. Here's $1. Now, you go to the airport, and Let's give you $10. Make it easy, okay? You're in the airport, and you're waiting for the plane. You know, you're in the lounge. There's a delay, and you know you're thirsty. You're in the lounge, and the only cash you have on you is the shliach mitzvah money. The guy gave you $10. I want to go buy a cup of coffee, so I want to basically borrow the shliach mitzvah money. I'll borrow it. I'll use to buy a cup of coffee while I'm waiting for the plane to take off. Come to Eretz Yisrael. I have other money in Eretz Yisrael, $10. And then I'll repay the money. That's fine. There's no harm done in that because I'm borrowing from the tzedakah or from the person who gave me the money and I'm paying him back. Now, there are many ways to structure this. This transaction. Generally, we say that when you give someone shliach mitzvah money, he's not makbid, but if you use it in the meantime. I'm giving you $10. The assumption is I'm giving you $10 to be a shliach mitzvah. You don't have to pay with this $10 bill. If you want, you need the money in the airport, you can use it. That means the money is not yet stocker. When I give you the $10, who does that money belong to? Some will argue the moment that you give him the $10, this money takes on sanctity. It's the mamon shel aniyim. It's the money that belongs to the poor people. Correct? And now when I borrow it, I'm really doing it shloi kedin, because the poor people of the world, of Eretz Yisrael, have not given me permission to borrow their money. So I do it anyway, I don't care. I borrow. I'm not borrowing from Reuven. If Reuven gives me a $10 bill, the moment I take the $10 bill in my hands, whose money is that? Is that Reuven's money? Or is that the money of the Aniye Eretz Yisrael? If the money is still, if it's Reuven's money, it's Reuven's money. When I arrive in Eretz Yisrael, I will then give Reuven's money to the Aniyim. Never at any moment in time did the money belong to me. The money belonged to Reuven. And then when I give the money to the Aniyim, it belongs to the Aniye Eretz Yisrael.
What happened if the money was stolen?
You lost the $10.
If I lost the $10 bill, so I lost Reuven's money. I lost. So if I am an oin, if I was a pasheya, I'm responsible. If I was not a pasheya, I'm exempt. I'm a shoimer for Reuven. For the Aniyim also, it doesn't make a difference. What? It does. Let's say it's the Aniyim's money. Let us say it belongs to the poor people. Let's say the moment Reuven says this is tzedakah money. At that moment in time,
you don't have to pay back.
You do not have to pay back. You're a shoimer.
Let's say I'm a pasheya.
Then you have to pay back.
Who do I pay back?
Well, that's the question. That's the dilemma that we're discussing at this moment in time. Whose money is it? When Reuven gives you a $10 bill, the dilemma is, do we say it's Reuven's money? It's always Reuven's money until the money reaches the hand of a poor person. Or do we say, the moment the money comes into my hand, the money is immediately the money that's the property of all of the Aniye Eretz Yisrael, and it's my prerogative to which Ani will get that money. But it's not Reuven's money, it's not my money, it's the money of the Aniye Eretz Yisrael.
Why is that any different, for example, from a get? You give a get to a shliach. Who are? Is it still in the hands of Reuven? The guy gave it. You
have to give to the wife? It depends what the shliach, who appointed the shliach.
Right.
Is a shliach lehoilacha or a shliach lekabbalah, or it can be both. It can be both. That all depends on who appointed that shliach. So here is a dilemma. That's the case that we're discussing. Again, it's a whole different world to itself. Reuven gives me the $10 bill. The Pashto says, it seems from what he writes in this sefer, is that an assumption is the money is Reuven's money. The money is not the money of the poor people of the world, it's Reuven's money. And it also appears to me that the assumption is people are very good to each other. When Reuven gives Shimon $10 and says, give the money to poor people in Eretz Yisrael, but in the meantime, if you need to use the money, gesunte hate, use the money. If you go to the airport, you want to buy a candy bar, so use my $10. Just pay back. Just in the meantime, it's my money, or not even. It could be that since I'm allowing.
Fungible.
What's
money is fungible. He doesn't mean to give this dollar.
Exactly. Well, that's the question. If he could say that most of the poor people, then maybe they mean that. But if it's Reuven's money, Reuven is making you an agent. $10, give it to poor people. Reuven also allows you, without question, if you need to use the money to buy a candy bar, go right ahead. Now, when you buy that candy bar, there's no doubt, no question about it, it becomes a loan. There's no question. It might be called a pekodoin until you spend the money. But once you spend the money, for sure, at that moment in time, it's a loan. It's certainly, I've borrowed money from Reuven, and I owe him the money. When I go and I give the money to Tzedakah, in essence, I'm doing two things. I'm paying back a loan, plus, I'm doing his agency of giving the money to who he wants me to give the money to.
Where's Reuven's come in here?
Let's say Reuven says, here's $10. You can buy a candy bar. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, don't just give it to any poor person. Only give it to institutions. I don't like these guys who walk around by the kosher. I have people that are like, I'm makpid who you give it to. I have a hakpado who you give it to. I'm going to make it hard for you. I'm going to make it hard for you. You just can't give it to anyone who puts out a sentence. You call it Peshat Yad. You have to give it to a legitimate institution, to a yeshiva. I'm not going to any yeshivas. I go to yeshiva. Where's the office? Where's the office? You go to Mir Yeshiva. Where's the? I don't even know where the office is. Where's the office? You go over here. Who do I give it to? This, that. You're making it hard for me. You're making it hard for me to give, to do your job. So sometimes you make it a little bit hard. Sometimes you make it a lot hard. Shaila is a real shaila. If I give you, let's say, a significant amount of money, or even some amount of money, and I'm letting you use the money, you can spend the money. You can spend the money to buy a cup of coffee. In the meantime, it becomes a loan. It becomes a loan. When I repay the loan, not only am I repaying the $10, I'm also doing a favor for you. I'm going out of my way to deliver the money to a specific location. I'm returning not just the $10. I'm returning $10 plus a service. If the money was purely a pekudon, a sealed envelope, don't you dare open the envelope. This is my money. It's not a loan. And give the money only to institutions, only to someone who has a tax-exempt number of hulu v'chulu. So then, I'm doing you a favor. I'm a delivery boy. I'm a delivery boy. I'm doing you a favor. You didn't do me any favor. What favor did you do? Oh, segula. Segulas is a different, doesn't count. Okay, you're giving the shlech mitzvah money as a segula. Yeah, schools are very nice, but in halacha, schools don't carry any weight. They don't carry weight, schools. So the bottom line is, if you give me a sealed envelope and I deliver the sealed envelope to the institution, I've done you a favor by going out of my way to do what you want me to do. I should really charge you for this service. I really should charge you. But I'm a nice guy. I'm going to do it for free. But if you give me the money not in a sealed envelope, and you tell me, or even if the assumption is, here's the money, when you get Eretz Yisrael, give it to Tzedakah, but you know something? Make sure he's not a Satma Chosid, and make sure he's not a Lubavitcher, and make sure he's not a Litvak, and make sure he's not a Mizrahi, and make sure he's not a Chiloni.
Make sure he's not poor.
And make sure he's not poor also. And make sure he's not... So what, you put him in a wild goose chase? Who's left?
An Arab.
What?
Narrow.
You put him in, not an Arab either. So you're making me work. You're making me work for you. You're making it hard for me to give the tzedakah. You're giving me conditions where I should give it to. Oh, who's working for who? Why am I doing this for you? The real reason, because it's a segula, or it's because of a... You'll tell me because I'm doing you a favor, but you cannot deny the fact that there's a loan taking place. There's a loan. I'm lending you money. I'm allowing you to use this money to buy a cup of coffee on the airplane. You'll have cash on you. Oh, it's a loan. And even if I don't spend the money, like Rav Meir said, it's what's it called? Fungible. It turns into, I'm giving you the $10. I don't have to give this $10. Give another $10. So in the meantime, the money is a loan. And now when you make it more difficult how to give the tzedakah, when I give the tzedakah, I'm paying back the loan, plus I provided you the effort, I exerted myself to give it back the way you want it, which is a service, which means I gave you back $10 plus. So isn't that amazing? When you're dealing with something so simplistic, so innocent as shliach mitzvah money, don't ever tell a person when you give him shliach mitzvah money, make conditions. If you make conditions when you give, people do this. People do this. They make, when you give shliach mitzvah money, they make conditions. Then you're getting into a shail of ribis de oraisa, because it's stipulated in advance. You can spend the money on the plane. You can spend the money, but just make sure before you come back to America, you give the money to the tzedakah that I want, even if it's going to require you to exert yourself. That's a loan plus a service, being paid back plus a service. In those type of situations, you have to specify this is not a loan. Don't you dare use my $10 bill to buy a cup of coffee on the airplane. This is a pekodin. put this in a sealed envelope. It's not a loan. This is an object. Don't spend it. Not yours to spend. Then you can go. You can go with whatever you want. Yeah.
A simple condition: just deliver to that in that address, and you have to take from the hotel a taxi.
Yeah, that's ribbis. That's going to be ribbis d'oraisa. Ribbis, if you're letting me use the money. If you're giving me money and you're telling me I'm giving you an envelope of cash, you want to use the money?
With a sealed envelope?
What?
With a sealed.
No, then it's mutter. That's what you have to be careful. That's what you have to specify. If you're giving us a sealed envelope and the conditions are you cannot spend this money, this money has the way I give it to you is the way it has to be delivered. Then it's a pekodoin. It's a loose object. Then you can impose upon me conditions. You can impose upon me conditions, and it's not called ribbis. But if you say to me, this happens more often than you think, you give even significant amount of money. You'd be surprised what people do. You give significant amount of money, and you basically even the people. I know what I'm gonna spend that money. I'm gonna before I go to Eretz Yisrael, before I go, I'm gonna take them. I'm gonna spend it, and when I get to Eretz Yisrael, I'm gonna repay it. So it's a loan. And you're telling me, putting me in a wild goose chase, it's going to take me 3 hours
but
to go to
you
the...
say I'm going to go to the mayor? Okay.
And if it's not a significant tirachah, it's more... Yeah, it has to be significant. How do you define significant? That's everyone is different. When do you feel... We all know in life, you do someone a favor. Sometimes you don't even feel it. A favor? What kind of... Someone says, thank you. What kind of a favor? It's a joke. I don't know if it's not a favor. It's just so trivial. But sometimes you feel it. You feel it. Like, you know, I'm already doing something that already... You're digging into me.
You got to go to the mayor and you won't go to the mayor.
You're digging into me. So that already is something which is ready. So that already is wrong.
What happens if you give the shliach limits the guilt, for a person, he's a shliach, and he knows that he's allowed to use it, but he doesn't use it. So is that considered a loan? He would have been allowed to use it, but he does not use it.
It doesn't matter. It would still be a loan.
He never gets
it. Theoretically, you have to evaluate what is the common mindset of giving a shliach mitzvah money. It appears the common mindset is you can spend the money.
So even if you don't spend
even if you don't spend the money, it would be ribbis.
It's considered a
yes,
loan.
Yes.
You had access to it.
Correct. So if you go and give someone, before the thing, I've had this, someone gives me a couple of dollars. Give me $5, and they say to me, "Don't give it to collectors. You have to give it to a shul, give it to an organization." That's a real problem. By me accepting to do that, I'm also in violation of ribbis, because now a shul chayr not, because it's like go to daven, so it's not a tircha. So I shouldn't say that. But if someone says something which right away in your mind, oh come on, you're making it hard for me to give the money, that's a problem. Because that's the money you're giving me. It's $5, so you're gonna let me spend it. That's the common assumption. You're gonna let me spend the $5. I'll pay you back. And if you're making conditions of where I'm gonna spend it, then you're being matriach me. So I'm giving back the money plus I'm doing a tircha. So that's ribbis. So in that situation, okay, fine. I'm not gonna. Then you have to say I'm not gonna spend the money. I'm gonna give the money, the dollar bills, the way you give it to me. I'm not gonna spend it. So then it's not a loan. It's a pekodin, and then there is no shaila of ribbis d'oraisa. Okay, last, I really gotta talk about last, very, very last thing is return policy. This is another big shy with Jewish companies, return policy. If you buy something in a store, and then after 30 days, you give it back, and you get your money back, why is that not called ribbis? Since this policy is you have 30 days to return the item, why don't we say that when the store takes your money, they're borrowing your money? I buy something in Eichler's. I give them $100. And I have 30 days to get my cash back. I don't know if they have a policy there. Cash back. Get your money back. So as long as 30 days have not passed, I have the right to bring it back to the store and get back my $100. So in the meantime, Eichler's, or the store, has in their possession my $100. They have borrowed from me $100. Isn't that very nice? They borrow from me $100. And then when the month is over, they give me back the $100. But not only have they given me back the $100, they've also allowed me to use the object for 1 month.
Read the whole book
for a whole month. They've done ribbis.
It's not appropriate, though. You
why not?
You have the right to do that.
But that's what resulted.
If the product is not open,
that is the result. So maybe he's saying it's not deraisa. No, let's say you don't even know what's going to happen. But let's not focus on the kavana. The bottom line is, even if it was done with the best of intentions, I had no intent to return the item. I had no intent to return the item. It's ribis. If I am giving them $100, and when 30 days is over, they give me back the $100, and I give them back the book, in the big picture of things, they've borrowed $100, they're giving back $100, plus, in addition to giving back the $100, they've given me an object to use for a certain amount of time. Is that not ribis? You'll tell me, well, it's not real ribis, so it's fine, it's not ribis deraisa, but it's ribis midrabanan, because in the big picture of things, they've taken my money, they gave back my money, plus they've given back to me, they've given something in addition, they've let me use something for a period of time. Ribis.
Is that value significant?
What?
Is that a significant value?
Certainly is. It certainly is. Whatever you have the right to use it. It's certainly significant. Ribis called avar. It's ribis. So what do you do? It's a very big problem. So the only solution basically is that a return policy has to be viewed, and in the Jewish store they have to actually even write this in their bylines, is bylaws, whatever it is that they're not letting you return it. They'll buy it back within 30 days. It's not like the policy has to be, the way it has to be viewed legally. And the truth is, among the goyim, I think already it's like this also to a certain degree for other reasons. Ask Amazon, how do they view their return policy? Try to figure out, even contact them. Is it when they have 30 days, 30, what?
That Jewish electronic store.
B&H. B&H. They probably had to ask us, so then it doesn't make a difference. So they have for sure had to ask us. So talking about small potatoes. small stores, so don't have had to ask yet. So it has to be understood that it's, we're selling it to you, and the sale is final. It's our money and it's your item. For 30 days, if you want, we'll buy it back. So it's not a loan. It's not structured legally as a loan. It's structured legally as a sale. You buy it, for 30 days we'll buy it back. Now, you'll ask me, but did we not just start off the share today? There's something called haramas ribis. Deception. Bottom line is, money was transferred back and forth. You got something. So in this case, the person can say, this is not called harama. You can't say this called harama, because that's business. In business, you buy and you sell. There's a return policy. The assumption is, you're going to keep it. You have 30 days. That's not called harama. When you create a loan, I'm lending you, Tony Lenz, $1,000. I normally would give you 6 months, and I would demand $1,500 in return. The rabbis told me I can't do that. So you know what? I'll give you 10 days to pay back. You don't pay back in 10 days? Penalty, $500. And then only demand the penalty in the loan in 6 months. That's a harama. That looks like harama. It smells like harama. It walks like a harama. It has to be a terrorist. No matter what. It's a harama. It's a harama in that case. But in this case, it's not a harama. This is business. You buy and you sell. And the truth is, by the goyim, I think in Amazon, in a lot of the non-Jewish stores, that's really how trend. That's legally, that's what he says over here, by most secular retail stores, that's really how legally return policy is structured. He sold it to you, sale is final, we'll buy it back. They don't want it to be a loan either for their own reasons. Taxes and this and that, the whole... There are other legal elements why they also choose that it should be structured in such a fashion.
A service.
But years ago it was not like that. Years ago, I think it probably could be the laws changed. Years ago, when you had a return policy on the books, legally, it was really a loan. That's really what it is. We loan, and then it becomes a shal of ribis. So if you have a mom and pop shop who is not so sophisticated, you get into these questions. What exactly? Okay, take a break for one minute, and then we'll do just very quick, just 10 minutes, an inyan of Lashon Hara. I want to talk about the sugya of Lashon Hara. No, give him a minute. Stretch your feet.